7.
Good morning. Welcome back to the second half of the Shattering Myths program. I am your host, Yetta. Feel free to call us at any time during the program, 877-300-7645. Should you like to want to challenge anything that is being said or want to affirm Yahweh's testimony. Anyway, continuing with this letter, you'll find that this person is quite bullish, thanks me for affirming the truth as it relates to Islam and not being afraid to run for cover when presenting the truth about Islam. You know, such is the nature of Prophet of Doom. Prophet of Doom is a 1,000-page presentation of the words and deeds of Muhammad. It is the best documented, most comprehensive, most chronological presentation of the Islamic scriptures. And by presenting the Islamic scriptures in this way, I expose and condemn the religion. I present the truth about the religion. And this person, a Christian, is really excited about that and is lavish with their praise. Goes on to talk about how free speech is being sacrificed because Muslims respond inappropriately. And he says, if Allah is so important, why can't he defend his own honor? Yeah, that's what Muslims do when they scream Allahu Akbar before committing acts of terror. They are defending Allah's honor. And so why is it that the Islamic God can't defend his own? So he concludes his opening letter to me. He says, consider the God of the Christians and what he says. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. He says, my God sits in the heavens and laughs at those who take aim at him. Please continue the good work and may Jesus Christ strengthen and prosper your endeavors. Kind regards, Stephen. Well, in our program last week, I pointed out that the vengeance is mine quote that he cited was from Paul. It was from Romans 12:9. And as in everything that Paul quotes from Yah's Torah, prophets, and Psalms, he took the quotation out of context. He misstated what God actually said, all to deceive, all to lead people astray. And of course, the actual citation says, vengeance is mine, and so is recompense. Recompense is compensation and reward. At the time when their foot shall slide. So that's the context. At such a time when calamity is at hand, and things that are to come upon them, they shall make haste. Saying that the recompense, and the vengeance are as a result of what we do. We bring either upon ourselves. But you wouldn't get that by Paul's errant and truncated, out-of-context rendering of the statement. I wrote back to Stephen and I said that Allah and Yahweh are opposites. Allah is Satan, Yahweh is God. Yahweh, however, is not a Christian. He hates all religions. Yahweh uses the Lord title in reference to Satan, not for himself. Lord defines Satan's ambitions, which are the antithesis of Yahweh's will. I am afraid that your Bible translations have led you astray in this regard. God hates being called the Lord. And Yahweh says that the replacement of his name with the satanic title Lord is the greatest crime ever perpetrated by humankind. Moreover, there is no Jesus Christ. The Son's name is Yahusha. His title is Messiah. His actual name and title are God-given. They were chosen by God. They are meaningful. Yahusha means Yahweh saves. Messiah means the work of Yahweh. If you don't know his name and title, there is a 0% chance that you know him. Because his name and his title not only define who he is, but what he's doing. If you'd like to verify these things for yourself, I encourage you to read introtogod.org. I did not share in my letter to Stephen this statement by Yah. There's several here that I'm going to share with you because I think they will promote thinking. This first is from Devarim. Actually, no, the first is from Shemoth. It is the second book of the five or six that comprise the formal Torah of Yahweh. Shemoth means names. You'll find it errantly rendered Exodus. This is from 3:15. And God, moreover, said to Moshe, "This is what you should say to the children of Yisrael." Now, the children of Yisrael is the children who strive, who contend with, who struggle with, who engage, persist, and endure with, and who are empowered by God. That's what Yisrael means. It's a compound of three Hebrew words. Ish, individual, Sarah, to engage and endure, El, with God. So this is what you should say to the children of Yisrael. Yahweh, God of your fathers, God of Abraham, which means loving, enriching, and merciful father, God of Yishak, which means laughter, which defines the purpose of the covenant, and God of Jacob, one who supplants and digs in his heels, he sent me to you. This is my name. Yahweh. This is my name. Forever. La'olam. And this is my way of being remembered. Zakir. For all places, all times, and every generation. Dor-dor. Yahweh. This is my name. Forever. And this is my way of being known and remembered for all places, all times, and every generation. God did not change his name. He does not have many names. He has but one name, and that one name is forever. This now is the passage from Proverbs, which is a masal. It's a word picture. God begins his discussion in the word picture number 30. This is from the fourth verse, because I think it's rather appropriate considering how dramatic God has just been regarding his name. Who is he, God asks, who has descended from and who is and who reliably ascends to heaven? Who is he who genuinely gathers and receives the spiritual harvest in the palms of his hand? Who is he who wraps up and envelops, actually giving birth by way of the waters in the garment? Who is he who finally comes onto the scene, stand uprights, completes the mission, enabling others to stand, establishing the entire earth? What is his personal and proper name? What is his son's personal and proper name? Surely you know. But you know, if you were to ask a million Christians, I don't think you'd get 10. Who know? Not 10 in a million. You might be lucky and get 1 in a million Christians who know his personal and proper name, who know the Son's personal and proper name. Surely you know. This then from the book of Hosea means he saves, Hosea 2:16 and 17. This is when God is returning, and he says specifically that the one thing when he returns that he is glad for is that he will never have to hear my Lord ever again. Now, why is he, before I read this, why do you think he would say that? Well, the answer is pretty clear. God goes out of his way to explain that the Lord is his title for Satan, the adversary. And he uses it, Baal, as the title for Satan, because it is Satan's desire to lord over everyone, over humans, over God himself, to be in control, to own the earth, to have everyone obey him. That's what Satan wants. It's the antithesis, however, of what Yahweh wants. He wants to be dad. dads don't act as lords. Dads don't want anyone bowing down to them, but lords do. So this is what God says, and it shall be in that specific day, prophetically declares Yahweh, you shall encounter and welcome me as an individual, and you will not call me my Lord ever again. For I will remove, accordingly, the Lord's names out of her mouth, and they shall not be remembered, they shall not be recalled, they shall not be mentioned by their name ever again. The uniqueness of when Yahweh returns is that we're going to know him as an individual, singular, and that we will never again refer to him as my Lord. And God will actually remove the concept of my Lord from the lips of everyone who survives his return. He will never have to tolerate hearing the satanic title being applied to him. Now, we're going to move on here to the book of Yirmeyahu. It means Yah lifts up. It's been corrupted to Jeremiah. Jeremiah means nothing. Yirmeyahu means Yahweh uplifts, Yahweh lifts up. It is a book that in its preamble you'll find was written expressly to Goyim. And it was written to Goyim, people from different races and places, the Gentiles, if you will, to warn them about the consequence of embracing religion. And it warns them of the consequence of religion. And so, in that context, this is what we hear God saying to us. This is what Yahweh of the vast array of envoys says. You should not listen concerning the words, speeches, statements, and messages of those prophets who claim to speak for God to you. So if someone is claiming that they are speaking for God, that they are inspired as a prophet to speak from God, don't listen to them. Now, the person most known for this happens to be Paul. He claimed that he was a prophet speaking on behalf of God, that God inspired his every word. And God says here, don't listen to them. We'll return to the great difference between claiming to be a prophet speaking for God and simply sharing what God had to say. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. We were just talking about this passage from Yahweh. It's from Yirmeyahu, Jeremiah 23:18, where God says, you know, that you should not listen concerning the speeches, the statements, and the messages of those prophets who claim to speak for God to you. Paul, of course, is the worst of these, presented himself as being the inspired prophet, not only of God, but with exclusivity to the entire Gentile community. And so since he was claimed to be God's authorized and singular agent to speak to the world of Gentiles, and this book of Yirmeyahu was written by God's own testimony to the Gentiles, you now have a comparison. You can either trust the God who spoke through Yirmeyahu, or the man who claimed to be a prophet speaking for God, because their testimony is wholly contradictory. So God says that don't do that. Now, one of the things I have shared that I would present to you, there is a vast difference between claiming to be an inspired prophet speaking for God and spewing out whatever it is that you have to say, and being someone who simply reads God's word, translates God's word, amplifies the meaning of the words that are in God's word so we might understand them, and tries to help present his testimony in context, tying it to other things he has to say so as to develop understanding. I do not claim to be a prophet If I were claiming to be a prophet, the first time I would make any mistake, then it would be deadly. So I do not claim to be a prophet. I claim nothing more than to be serious about what God had to say and to convey what God had to say. So God continuing to talk about those who would claim to speak for him in a religious setting, he said, they are vain, they are worthless, they are delusional liars, arrogantly providing false hope. And that's what Paul did. He was a delusional, vain liar promoting false hope. Revealing their heart, their character, and feelings, they do not speak the word from the mouth of Yahweh. And such was the case, again, with Paul. Every time that he wanted to make a point, he would remove something that Yahweh said from context, truncate it, misquote it, and then twist it to serve his agenda. He did not quote from the mouth of Yahweh. And who of them has seen or heard my word? Who of them has paid attention to my word of words? And has received the news that I have spoken and understood it. I did not send these prophets, and so they will be quickly dispatched and driven away. I did not speak as God to them, and yet they spoke as if they were inspired. Yirmiyahu 23, 21, and 22. It is essential that you understand that when somebody is reading God's existing testimony, they're not claiming that they were uniquely inspired to be a prophet. But when somebody says, but I, Paul, say, and they write saying that they had been personally instructed by God, that they were chosen as God's prophet to have exclusivity to the Gentile world, that is an entirely different statement. And what God is saying here is, I did not speak to them. And yet they spoke as if they were inspired. Their plan is for my people to overlook, to forget, and to cease to properly value my personal and proper name by way of the revelations and communications which they recount to mankind, to their fellow countrymen and to their associates, just as when in a relationship with the Lord, their fathers overlooked, ignored, and forgot my personal and proper name. Think of that for a minute. The entire animosity that Stephen is going to laud against me for having told him that there is no Jesus Christ, that the name is Yahusha, and he is the Messiah, and that God's one and only name is Yahweh, that the animosity that he will have towards that is because Paul caused him to overlook, and so many others through the Christian religion, to forget and to cease to properly value Yahweh's personal and proper name. And that they would recount lies to their countrymen, such that in league with the Lord, their fathers would overlook and forget my personal and proper name. You see, God is opposed to Satan, to Baal, to the Lord, and it is Satan's desire that every human on this planet forget Yahweh's name. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Hello, I'm Yada. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We were considering a passage in Yirmiyahu, which means Yah lifts up. This is 23:27. And the reason that it is important is because of an email that I received whereby the Christian wanted to speak on behalf of the Christian God, a God named Jesus Christ. And so, speaking of the religious community, of those who claim to speak for him as prophets, singling out Paul here in this particular condemnation, and those who would advance Pauline doctrine, it says that their plan is for my people to overlook, to forget, and to cease to properly value my personal and proper name. by way of the revelations and communications which they recount to mankind, to their fellow countrymen and associates, just as when in a relationship with the Lord, their fathers overlooked, ignored, and forgot my personal and proper name. You see, in Christianity, the Lord has replaced Yahweh's name. Jesus Christ has replaced Yahweh's name. It was designed, it was purposeful, it is wrong, it is of the Lord, who is Satan. So therefore, concerning this, look to me before the prophets, for I'm against the prophets, declares Yahweh. I am against the individuals who secretly steal, taking my words away from their fellow countrymen. Think of that. Christianity has annulled the Torah, demeaning the Torah, mislabeling the Torah law, as have religious Jews, preferring their Talmud and New Testament in place. And God is saying, I'm against those individuals who take my words away from their countrymen. Pay attention to me, God continues. I am against the pontifications of deceptive and misleading revelations and messages in which there are claims of inspiration, declares Yahweh. If you are listening to someone who claimed to be inspired by God, as did Paul, understand that God is opposed to them. And yet they recount and they write them, and thereby they cause my people to go astray and to wander away through their lies and through their insolent, arrogant, and reckless speech. That's what God thinks of religion. It is what he thinks of those who would mislead by through the Lord and causing people to forget and not use his personal and proper name, Yahweh. Anyway, this is something we also discussed briefly during our program last week. The individual, the Christian apologist, wrote back and he says, thanks for your reply. I do, in fact, understand what is translated in the King James, for example, as the Lord is, in fact, W-A-W-E-H, third person masculine singular of the verb to be. That, by the way, is not true. Now, it is true that the KJV replaced Yahweh's name every time that it appeared, all 7,000 times it appears in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, with the Lord. That is true, but that's not a translation. That's a replacement. And it isn't Y-A-H-W-E-H. Oh, no, this person wrote Y-A-W-E-H. It's Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh. All three letters are verbs. It is Yahweh, and it is not the third person masculine of the verb to be. Haya is the verb to be. E-Haya is how it was written. That's the first person masculine singular. I am. I was. I will be. I exist. And he says, but even though that he made all of these mistakes thus far, that he is perfectly capable of going to the original Hebrew and Greek text for himself, and yet everything he said there was wrong. I think that possibly you have a translation slightly wrong using Yahweh. This seems to carry the insertion of the O in the name as a result of the hybridization of the words Adonai and Yahweh, and equates to the wrong rendering of the Jehovah in English, as I shared with you before. The O in Yahweh, all three letters, four letters, two of which repeated, all three letters are vowels. The yod is closest to the vowel version of the Y in English. The W, the wah, is pronounced as a O or U sound in every Hebrew word in which it appears. Thousands of them, including some of the most common like shalom and Torah. That's how we know how it is pronounced. There are hundreds upon hundreds, if not thousands, of Hebrew words where the wa is pronounced as a U or O sound. And the he in Hebrew, 99.9% of the time that it appears in the Hebrew language, it is pronounced just as it is in Haya with the ah sound. So I encourage this individual to please read An Intro to God. There you will discover the proper pronunciation of the verb Haya and the noun Torah, which in turn lead us to the proper pronunciation of Yahweh. You are promoting two myths in your response. Further, it isn't the third person. But I'm glad you can go to the Hebrew text for yourself. That is always the best place to turn for answers. Stephen, though, said, my main concern with your legalistic approach to the name Jesus is that all names vary according to language. We covered this in our program yesterday. There is to label that which is truthful, that which is accurate, legalistic, demeans truth. And there is no name Jesus. It was then this particular moniker was first created in the 17th century. 1700 years after Yahusha visited us on this, the sixth occasion of his human manifestation here on earth. Names, however, do not vary according to language. Words vary and thus are translated. Names are transliterated. To transliterate, you replicate the sound of the name in the other language. Osama bin Laden is Osama bin Laden in French, in German, and in English. Adolf Hitler is Adolf Hitler not only in Germany, but in America. He wrote, yes, Jesus is Yeshua in the Hebrew and Iusus in the Greek. No, both of those are wrong. Iusua is Yeshua isn't his name. God knows how to spell his name. He knows how to pronounce his name. Yahusha is written over 220 times in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. It is always spelled the same way. Yahusha. It means Yahweh saves. He knows what it means. He knows how to write it. He knows how to pronounce it. And so do we, because he used it in the text of his testimony 220 times. This person then equates Jesus with Yeshua, which is, by the way, Jesus is not obviously a translation of Yeshua, and Yeshua is not right. And it's not a translation or a transliteration of Iesus either. So why even turn there? And the person then, Stephen, says, which is the language chosen by God, speaking of Greek, for the original transcripts of the New Testament. God didn't choose Greek. Didn't speak Greek. There is no indication whatsoever that God ever issued a single word in Greek. The dialogue that took place in the eyewitness accounts was in Hebrew and Aramaic. We just have translations of those conversations in Greek. They weren't written or spoken originally in Greek. So wrong again, as I told Stephen, the name Yahusha is written by God. God knows how to pronounce it, and Iesus was not written out on a single page of any pre-Constantine manuscript of your Christian New Testament. First of all, as said, Jesus isn't remotely related to Iesus, Iusu, Iusun, but beyond that, you can't even use that as an excuse because Iesus, Iusun, Iusu aren't written out on a single page of a single pre-Constantine manuscript of the so-called Christian New Testament. Never once. Instead, divine placeholders are used. Christians don't want to refer to them because they have removed the divine placeholders as if they were not there and substituted the name Jesus for the divine placeholder. Of course, speaking of the obvious, why incorrectly transliterate an errant late Greek transliteration of a Hebrew name? Worse, why defend it? You know, it's one thing, I was talking to Scott during the break, it's one thing to be ignorant and to not know that Jesus was first conceived by man in the 17th century and that it bears no resemblance to Yahusha's name whatsoever, that it's not God's name. It's not a name that God even remotely used. In fact, Jesus is the savior of the Druid religion where the horned one is God. And so it's one thing to use it out of ignorance. It's another thing to be told what you are doing has no basis. First used 17th century. The name is Yahusha. God used Yahusha 220 times. And then to continue to cling to the lie. That would be like saying that for you to know God, you would have to be willing to disregard everything that he said and rely instead on everything man corrupted his testimony to become. And as I warned Stephen, it would be better if you learned something about translation and transliteration before making an errant argument. If you did, if you actually did your research, if you examine the text of the 69 pre-Constantine manuscripts of the so-called Christian New Testament, and you understood the nature of the placeholders, you understood the nature of translation and transliteration. If you read Yahweh's testimony, if you weren't so corrupted by your religion that you cared for his name and his word as he revealed it, then you would find who it was that was misleading so many, religion. Stephen writes, no one should be concerned about linguistic variations of this kind. We shouldn't be concerned, according to Stephen, about the linguistic variation of Yahusha versus Jesus, one being God's chosen, one being accurate, one being meaningful. Yahusha means Yahweh saves. Spelled that way, pronounced that way by Yahweh himself. In his testimony, his Torah, prophets, and songs, we ought not be concerned about such things. We ought to instead simply embrace the lies of man. Jesus Christ. Why not? Why not do exactly what Yahweh warned us against? Ignoring his name, devaluing his name, ignoring his word, serving the Lord. To the final segment of Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Stephen wrote, I know whom I speak to when I call upon the name of Jesus, and he hears me when I call upon him. Well, if you know who you speak to, then why do you call him by a bogus name? You didn't pick that name. There is no use of that name prior to the 17th century. There's no J in Hebrew. There's no Hebrew word that ends with us. I mean, there is literally no correlation between Jesus and Yahusha. Here's the truth, my friends. If you do not know the origin and meaning of the name Yahusha, then you do not know him. And the very fact that you're focused and praying to him as opposed to Yahweh is just nothing more than a validation of this. All Yahusha means is that Yahweh himself is saving us. Yahusha is a diminished manifestation of Yahweh. If you focus on and come to know Yahweh and embrace Yahweh's name and word, then you will know everything there is to know about Yahusha. But if you focus on a mischaracterization and a misnamed person, you will never know him or Yahweh. By the way, God also says that he never hears the prayers of those who aren't observing his Torah. In fact, he forgets those who ignore his Torah. That's his testimony. Not mine. And speaking of being Torah observant, I shared with Stephen, Yahweh was Torah observant. So why are Christians so adverse to the Torah? In fact, what we will find is in Stephen's retort to this, he attacks the Torah, calling it legalistic. He says that the Torah is incapable of saving anyone. He is parroting, of course, Pauline doctrine. He is adverse to the Torah because he's a Christian, because Paul was adverse to the Torah. And yet, Yahusha was Torah observant. How is it that you can create a religion that's defined by a mischaracterization of his title, Christ, which its actual title is Messiah? Christ means drugged in Greek, and then say that you're a follower of his, when he was Torah observant, and you hate the Torah. It's, which we will find is that all that Stephen is able to do is parrot Pauline doctrine. His defense against Yah's testimony is Paul. So at least he knows that Paul is the only voice that you can quote from Christianity who is in opposition to Yahweh and to his Torah. You know, why is it that everything that Yahusha affirmed, including the Torah, most especially the Torah, do Christians reject? Why have they disassociated the Christian Jesus from Yahweh, from the Torah, from God's Word? Why does the Christian Jesus appear more like Dionysus? Well, Stephen said, just like everyone around the world who calls upon him in their own native tongue, Jesus, or if you prefer, Yeshua. Yeshua is based on an acronym that means he whose name shall be blotted out. It was a rabbinical decision to cause both Yahweh's name and Yahusha's name never to be uttered for fear people actually figure out who they are. And he says that, you know, in the New Testament, he was called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The word is kurios in the Greek and is equivalent to Adonai in the Hebrew, hardly a reference to Satan, my friend. Well, as I told Stephen, I don't prefer Yeshua because it's a rabbinic corruption designed to accomplish the same mission as the Christian Jesus, to completely disassociate him from Yahweh. And there is no New Testament. There is only one covenant, and it has yet to be renewed. When it is renewed, of course, it will be renewed on the basis of a total incorporation of the Torah, the very book that Christians hate. Also, dealing with the facts, kurios isn't written out even once on any page of any pre-Constantine manuscript of the so-called Christian New Testament. So the very basis of this argument is rendered moot. It, too, is presented by way of a divine placeholder, and as we find from the Septuagint, the divine placeholder that is based upon the Greek kurios is actually a placeholder for Yahweh's name. Now, in our program tomorrow, we're going to continue with this letter while its preamble is fresh in our minds, and we are going to advance the truth of Yahweh and why it is so contradictory to the religion of Christianity. Good day.
Hey, this is Steve Schultz, and you've been hearing top radio personalities talk about longevity and how people are getting healthy and making an income at home. You see, I've built a 7-figure income.